All right. Well, good morning. So before we start with the sermon, we got a neat opportunity. Actually, about three months ago, the beginning of, I think it was the first Sunday in August, we got the opportunity to have a, I'm going to say band, but that's not even the tip of the iceberg, a young band that came and got to lead us in worship that Sunday of final greetings. And when I say don't even like saying band, is they're much more, because they're such, their hearts are, you got a chance to hear from them and see a little bit, their hearts are such more than just playing. They want to share Christ to people. And if you remember, they told us we were the last stop before they were leaving to go to Europe. So this morning they're back, and they just want to give a chance to be able to share with you guys. You guys want to come on up, share with you guys a little bit about their trip, and just kind of tell you what went on, and so you can be able to get a little excited. And I'm going to let Alyssa do the talking because she's better at it than I am, so I'm going to get out of the way.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for having us back. Like Ryan said, thank you. Like Ryan said, we've been in Europe for the past 2.5 months, and one of the things that we noticed while we were there is this need for God. It's something that you see when you go. There was a place we visited in Lviv, Ukraine. In this city center, they had this huge statue of Mary that people would come and they would kneel and they would pray to her. And then off to the side on this little walkway was a cross with Jesus on it, and everyone overlooked it. It's this idea in Europe that religion is so important, but they look to idols instead of Jesus. And while we were there, we really sensed this need for the hope and the grace of Christ. We have a little video we'd like to share about what we did while we were there.
Hey guys, this is Fritz from Aschaffenburg, Germany.
This is David Sneed over in Lviv, Ukraine.
This is Pia from Siegen, Germany.
And I want to let you know that these guys of Final Greetings are more than friends on the mission trip.
We had so much fun jumping around, celebrating life and Jesus at their rock show.
We really enjoyed doing the English club with you guys, and then also doing the concert. You guys know that more than 100 kids heard the gospel.
People in Europe have a complete wrong image about Jesus. And a lot of people here are looking for something meaningful in their lives.
And then now we also have, I think, about 50 or more kids that want to know more about the youth group and take part in what we're doing in the future.
But we were even more blessed just by the fellowship and the conversations that we had with the band members and just building friendships. And I hope that they will last forever. And just, we're really excited to have them back here soon and just to see what God will do in their ministry.
I thought they came to play some worship songs, but they came to serve us anyway, unconditionally. They are really cool, friendly, intelligent, but normal people. You can have fun with them or talk about stupid things, but at the end of the day, they will pray with and for you. Here in Germany, we have a lot of people who don't know who's God, who don't go to church. We have a lot of people who don't know what Jesus has done for them. But if these kinds of people have spent time with Final Greetings, they have questions like, who are you? Or we would like to find out, who is your God? Because you are so different. Final Greetings showed me I have to make faith to my starting place and not to my last resort.
Thank you.
I pray that Final Greetings will come back next year again. The wick is glowing right now.
We had a really great time while we were in Europe, and something we wanted to share, actually. We spent 2 weeks in Hungary, and while we were there, we partnered with one of this church's missionaries. His name is Csaba, and he's, yes, some of you guys know him. Yes, we got to partner with him and with his group, Fake, and we put on a rock concert for these youth kids that have gone to an English camp during the summer. And at the start of the year, it was really cool to have us come in and to play this music that the kids would enjoy as a way to draw them in and to have them start coming to this weekly meeting where they get to hear about Jesus. It was a really amazing experience, and Csaba was so glad to have us there, and we look forward to getting to work with him again, hopefully next year. We wanted to share with you also a little bit about our plans for next year. We are actually a part of a nonprofit organization called A Jesus Mission. And next year, they are starting a tour school in Europe. We are going to partner with them and learn from them and help bring up other bands and missionaries, because we can only be overseas for 90 days. We want to train other missionaries up so that they can be touring throughout Europe and through the U.S. because there is such a need and a desire for more of our style of ministry throughout Europe in several different churches. So if you would like to help partner with us through prayer or financial support, please come see us. Also, if you're interested in about learning about this tour school, we would love to share anything we can with you guys. We have a table in the back if you would like to talk to us, and you can also feel free to give to us online at www.ajesusmission.com/final-greetings. We also have our table back there that you can help support us if you would like to financially.
Good, great.
Thank you, guys. Let's go ahead and close in a time of prayer before we start the sermon. Lord, thank you so much for the generosity of this church in supporting missions and supporting growing of people and of faith, Lord. I pray that you continue to work through them to send out missionaries and to send out and equip people who can further spread your word here in the States and overseas, Lord. Let this church continue to burn bright and let the wick continue to glow. In your name, amen.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. All right, let's just take a second here. Well, good morning. I know I said that already once, but we're going to say it again. So, right here. All right. So, as you can see, we're doing things a little different this morning. So, last couple of weeks, we have been doing, Pastor Don has been doing a character study. Been doing, getting a chance, which we were really excited when we talked about setting that up, because I'm so passionate about God's Word, and we're passionate about God's Word, and we hope that you get a chance to see these amazing people, and I think sometimes we don't always do that. So he looked at the first week, he looked at David, the life of David, which is a guy who we all can relate to, who makes some amazing strides and then does some really stupid things. We learned so much from him. And then last week, he looked at Elijah, which, again, another amazing person that we can all relate to. Well, this week, I was telling someone, actually Jordan, I was telling him about it yesterday morning, about who I was going to be doing, and he goes, well, that makes sense. I didn't know that I let on so much, that I love this character so much, but this week we're going to be looking at Gideon, and Gideon is definitely one of my probably top five characters, and I think that we can learn so much from him. You know, I just got a study on him. It's called Weakling to a Warrior. So it's a neat thing that we all can relate to. But what we're going to do is, I was thinking about how we're going to do this morning, we're going to do a little different. This morning we're going to actually have a real interview, real life interview take place here. So this is George. He is my interviewer. So, you can clap for George. Yeah. George is going to be interviewing me on lack of sleep and everything. It'll be great. So,
no, I actually slept today.
Oh, there
yeah.
You go.
12 hours.
Oh, man.
12 hours. This happens once a week. I take it where I can get it. All right. Well, good morning, sir. How are we doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
Now, real quick, can you introduce yourself for the audience out there?
I will. My name is Gideon.
All righty, Gideon. And can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I am of the clan of the Abazar and of the tribe of Manasseh, and my father's name is Joash.
So you are Joash's boy?
Yes.
Well, good to know. Now, it's a really exciting opportunity for me to be up here. I've got a couple of questions I was hoping to ask you to get a personal perspective on some things I've read. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay. So starting in Judges chapter 6, verses 11 through 12, it says, "The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash of the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.'" So how did it feel to be called a mighty warrior, Gideon?
Well, it didn't feel right, because I definitely don't feel like a mighty warrior a lot of times.
Okay, I think I can get where you're coming from with this, but can you explain a little bit more where your mindset was?
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely. If you look at Judges 6:15, it says, "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." So as you can see, I'm no warrior. I'm the lowest of the low of my family. My family is the lowest clan. So I definitely am not a warrior, let alone feel like I'm a mighty anything.
Okay, I get that, but hear me out. In verse 16, the Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all of the Midianites, leaving none alive." I mean, this is God talking to you. What was your response?
Yeah, that wasn't something, you know, I didn't really trust that. Again, I said I was the lowest, so I didn't really trust God in that whole thing there, that was going to happen. He said that, and I was like, okay, yeah, okay, that's not going to happen.
I mean, from a personal perspective, I get this, but it shows that even verse 21, he reached out and burnt your offerings through a rock to prove that it was him, everything else, and you still weren't sold on the idea that God is telling you you're going to be this mighty warrior.
Yeah, that whole rock fire thing, I needed something else.
Okay, so this is something that's kind of confused me since I first read it. In Judges 24 through 27, you followed God's word. You went through, destroyed the temple of Baal in your father's house. You even went so far as to call the people together in verse 34 to fight. And then somewhere along the way, you seem to have lost some trust by having God not prove himself once, but twice with the whole incident with the fleece. What happened?
Yeah, I mean, it's all good to be able to call the people and get them all pumped up like a little party and everything, but I don't know, I still just didn't see myself as a warrior or a mighty warrior. I just couldn't do that. That's not something. I remember I told you, I'm a weakling. I'm like the bottom, and I still needed more assurance from God. I just needed more.
Okay, that's fair. I can see where you're coming from with this. But would you say, with each of these incidences, did you at least feel like your trust in God was growing a little bit? I mean, you've asked him to prove himself 3-4 times at least in a couple of verses. Did it feel like that trust was growing for you?
Yeah. I definitely would say that through all this, as God kept showing that he was going to do these things, I definitely can say that I started to trust in God more.
All right. So, in the end, God came forward, proved himself again and again to you through the fleece, everything else. It comes down to time to fight the Midianites. How were you feeling at that point?
I was feeling okay. I was feeling good. You know, I had 30,000 plus guys on my side in my army. We were ready to go. I mean, we still were fighting the Midianites, who there was said to have been millions of them, and they were bad dudes at the time. They were good fighters, and you know, my men were good guys, had good hearts, but I didn't really feel like good fighters. I was still going up against some rough guys. So, you know, I felt pretty good, but I still felt nervous.
Okay, again, totally understandable. I get that. Obviously, there's a little bit more. Can you tell me what happened next? I've read about this, but describe, what did God end up having you do here?
Well, God was God. And he said, "You got too many men."
Really?
Yeah, and I said, okay, this conversation I had with God, I said, okay, God, too many men? Too many men. I have 30,000 against like a million. And he said, yeah, he said, I'm going to narrow it down because I don't want you to boast in your strength. I don't want you to boast in that you did this. So then he took it from more than 30,000 to 300 men.
300.
300 soldiers. Yeah, 300. That's it. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that took place there to get them down to that. Some weird things that God did that just, you know, some making people, how do they drink from the water? And if they lapped it up like a dog, you know, again, God does things that blow my mind. But he did this to bring it down to 300 men.
So from 30,000 to 300 against people like the Midianites, who were described, as you said, to be numerous, like locusts on the field and camels without count. And he took you down to 300 through a series of tests. All right, I mean, I have to ask, I mean, you kind of had this shaky idea of being a warrior in the first place. On a scale of 1 to 10, how badly were you freaking out?
1 to 10, whew. Yeah, I was probably a good solid 9.5. Yeah, 9.5, 10. I was still pretty nervous. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. But now, what happened next? Can you explain?
Well, here's the thing. Even though I was scared and I was nervous, God, again, did what he does, and he calmed my nerves. And he did this in Judges 7:13 through 15. It says this. It says, so I arrived just as the men were telling a friend, just as a man was telling him his dream. I had a dream, he said. A round loaf of barley bread was tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hand. When I heard this, and when I heard this dream, and I interpreted it, I bowed down and I worshipped. And I turned around and ran back to the camp of the Israelites and said, let's get up. Let's go. God has given the Midianite camp to us because of this dream. I saw this. And God said, okay, here it is. And then God did this crazy thing. He showed me the future.
The future.
The future, yeah. He showed me the future about this guy Luke in this book that was going to be in this Bible. And it was Luke 18:27. And it just, again, it calmed my nerves because, I'd never heard of Luke, but he showed me this. And in 18:27, he said this. But he said, what is impossible with man is possible with God.
And that is nothing short of astounding. God showed you the future, showed you that you were going to win through the minds and dreams of his enemies. This is an amazing story, but I know this is not all. Can you go on and tell us what happened next? This is my favorite part.
Yeah, then it was really, I feel like God just kind of rolled his sleeves up and just started flexing. He just said, okay, weakling, I'm going to show you who I am and in my strength and your weakness. And what he did is he had me, and this is in Judges 7, 17 through 23. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit here, but basically what he did is he had me tell my men to, okay, here we go. What we're going to do is we're going to get on the outskirts of their camp around the mountains, and we're going to get ready, and we're going to get into three different parties. And what we're going to do is we're going to get our trumpets. We're going to have these trumpets. Okay, I've never been afraid of any musical instrument in my life, so it was.
Hey, as a trumpet player, it's a powerful instrument.
Okay, I still, no offense to any band people out there, but I was still like, okay, Mighty Warrior, how's this going to happen? But so what we did is we said, okay, then I told my men, I said, when I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then we will blow the trumpet on every side and all around the camp and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. And so Gideon and the 100 men, they did this. We went around to the camp, and we stretched out, and it was in the middle of the night, in the middle of the watch. And what we did was we blew our trumpets, and not only did we blow our trumpets, we smashed these jars, we started making all this noise, And when we did this, we also had torches in our hands. So we're making all this noise. We're blowing the trumpets. We're smashing jars. And we're spread out all around them. And then the craziest thing happened. The Midianites woke up and they started freaking out. They started going crazy because God knew what he was doing again. And it made us seem like there were so many more. And what happened was is these men started fighting against each other. The Midianites started just going at each other because it seemed like there was this chaos. And they started fighting and going at each other. And again, God showed up. And we were able to chase the Midianites out of there for a long ways and take them all down, pick them off just one by one. Our little band of 300 were able to do this and pursue them and take them out.
What an amazing story. And one, I think, very apropos, considering we have a band with us tonight. It makes a lot of sense that a loud band woke up a bunch of people 3 in the morning and just threw them into chaos. But either way, thank you so much for sharing with us here.
Yes, absolutely.
I do have one final question for you. I know your time is valuable. What happened? What do you think happened that allowed you to go from, in lack of a better way of putting it, from a zero to a hero?
I think why this happened, this is the true story. Why this happened was because I finally trusted God. I finally learned to trust God and get out of my way, get out of his way, and let him do what he said he was going to do. All throughout my story, this is God kept telling me, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And I doubted him, and I doubted him, and I didn't trust him. I didn't trust him that he had something to do with and going to do something great with a weakling like me. And as I look at and look out at you guys today, this is something that we all can relate to Gideon's story. Because God has something great in store for every single one of us. And so many of us doubt what God has put, the power, the strength that God has put in our lives. And we don't trust him in that aspect. You see, Ephesians 2:10 says this: "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." He says, we are his workmanship. When we struggle with feeling insignificant, we struggle with not feeling like we have the strength, God says that we are his workmanship, that we prepare, that he prepared beforehand. He did it on purpose. He made us on purpose the way we are. He gave us the gifts that we have on purpose. Here's the question I have. I had to ask myself this question. I ask all of you this question. Are we limiting God when we don't trust him? We think about our lives. We think about the things that go on. You know, so many of us, we hear all the time and we do warrior work. We pray for so many of you who bring your requests and so many of your family members. And I love hearing those. Not because of the fact that I love hearing about people hurting, but I love hearing about people putting their trust in God. Because so many times we limit God by not trusting him in so many aspects of our life. We need to trust him with our lives. You see in the life of Gideon, one of the amazing things that I love about Gideon is because I get Gideon because I was never the most talented anything. I was that guy. And I can relate to Gideon, and so many of us can relate to Gideon. Because what we see here is what God did is God created impossible situations of human weaknesses to exalt his strength. God does those things on purpose. He shows up and he says, no, you're weak because I need to be strong. Again, as we look at Luke 18:27, such a great verse, he says, but he said, what is impossible with man? Is it possible with God? In closing, here's the thing. You know, there's a saying that I heard my whole life. The saying was that God won't give us anything more than we can handle. Right? This was the saying. This was always the saying. And I lived by it for a long time. I was like, well, God's not going to give me anything more than I can handle. But then as you break this down and look at this, you have to break down the word we. When it comes to doing this, and we break down the word we, because either the word we is a singular, we meaning me, or the word we is plural, meaning us and God together. And as you look at Gideon's life again, see, if he was doing this singularly and he was doing this by himself in his own strength, he still would have been hiding out in that wine press, hanging out, hiding from the battle, hiding from the opportunity to trust in God. So many of us, we struggle with this idea because we hide out from God. Or we don't want to do something that may be a little bit uncomfortable. We have that person in our life who we know we need to share Jesus with, or we knew we need to do this, it's right, or whatever it is. We wait on that because, oh gosh, I'm going to hide. But as you look at the word we again, there's nothing that we cannot handle. We, God and us, cannot handle together because His strength shows up. And that's the thing that we can see so greatly from an amazing man like Gideon, that is somebody who was a weakling, but God made him a warrior. Are you trusting God? Are you trusting God with the little and in the big? Are you taking the time to do that? Here's the question I have. Have you trusted God with your life today? You know, it's easy to assume that people are here at church because they're Christians, right? And that we've all trusted God with our life. It's not true. I know it's not true. As you look at Romans 10:9, it says this. It says, because if we confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Nothing else is worth our trust than the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. If you don't know that, man, if you don't know what that means, we'd love to talk to you. Any of us pastors, the prayer partners we're going to have up here, we'd love to talk to you about that. And if you have given your life to Christ and you know what it means to trust Him, this isn't a one-day deal. This isn't a one-time, okay, I'm done. As you see Gideon, it built. Like any good muscle, you build that muscle of trust by working it out, by doing it daily, on a day-to-day basis. We have to work to trust Him on a day-to-day basis. Joshua 1:9 says this, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you will go. I want to leave you with this. Go out this week. Trust God. Take baby steps. One day, 1 minute at a time. One incident at a time. Look at Gideon. God did amazing things with a weakling. God, you look all throughout Scripture. You can see God has done amazing things with people. You look all throughout this church. God has done amazing things with people in their weaknesses because what they did is they trusted Him. Are you going to trust Him this week? Let's pray. Dearly Father, God, we thank you so much for sending your Son to die on a cross to give us someone to trust, to be there for us on a day-to-day basis. Lord, I just ask that you help us and give us the strength to go out this week to trust you. And give us this, give us each day incidents that you were there with us to help build that trust like you did with Gideon. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we ask this in your son's name. Amen.